This episode of Dynasty Drunks is brought to you by Pure Mist. We are very excited to be partnering with our friend Ike and his business. Pure Mist is an indoor environment solutions company helping communities in both North and South Dakota, Nebraska, and Minnesota by creating clean spaces in any venue. The only technology available and products proven to reduce COVID-19 on both surfaces and in the air. Active Pure technology products proven to kill 99.96% of airborne and 99.98% of surface SARS-CoV-2 in as little as 3 minutes. Tests completed in partnership with a biosafety level 4 and biosafety level 3 combination lab team following strict FDA protocols. So check out PureMistCo.com or contact them at 218-242-1561 or by email at Isaiah@PureMistCo.com. That's Isaiah, I-S-S-I-A-H, at PureMistCo.com, 218-242-1561. Pure Mist.
Hello and welcome to the Dynasty Drunks Fantasy Football Podcast with your hosts, Daryl White and Jeremy Vest. Got something to say? Then crack open a cold one and leave us a message on the 24/7 Drunk Dial voicemail line at 702-530-5564. Enjoy the show and remember, friends don't let friends trade drunk.
Yeah. It's a little later for you. What are you drinking there, buddy?
Got one of the beers that I've kind of longed for since I was in Japan, and now I'm back in the United States, but the Bell's Two Hearted Ale, it's an IPA out of Michigan. Probably my favorite IPA.
Nice.
I love the IPAs.
So. Yeah. Not so much. I'm not drinking. Bars still not open. Still semi on lockdown. But we'll get into that a little bit later. So yeah, like I said, plus it is my night, but it's also 8 a.m., 9 a.m. So not drinking. Probably not drinking this whole trip. So maybe fit in one or two. We'll see.
11:30 p.m. here, and I had a wedding last night, and then I got a little story to tell you about that. So speaking of the take a shot, the stupid moves I saw.
Yeah. Take a shot, waiver ads or stupid moves. Kind of like I told you or talked to you about, really didn't know what to do for this, but also just, it seems like some people are just like picking up and dropping people like randomly, you know, same people they picked up a week ago, they're dropping. So what's the point, you know, especially right now there's no like real news, you know, about anything till camp start in like 10 days, which by the way, 10 days. So that's kind of cool. So 10 days. Yeah. So we'll potentially have a lot better stuff going on. Waiver ads or stupid moves. Outside of that, we do got a voicemail this week.
Shit.
It started with a DM about our Green Bay trip. And I was like, hey, man, like, how about you leave voicemail? So at S. Williamson 01, kind enough to leave us a voicemail. We'll take a listen.
What's up, guys? Love the show. Last week, you guys mentioned going to a Packers game and needing to get the tailgate figured out. Check out the Milwaukee Broad House. I'm not sure if they're still doing it or not, but they had a house that was really close to the stadium. And for like a flat fee, you can get all you can drink and all you can eat while you're there during the tailgate and then a little bit afterwards. They had like little kiddie pools just filled with beer everywhere you went. Definitely worth the money. Check it out if you guys are in town and actually get to the Lambeau for that game. Keep doing what you're doing. Love the show. Keep it up.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks for that. Sounds really cool. What I'll say is, and maybe I looked up the wrong thing from the initial conversation I had with them. I thought what I found was in Milwaukee, and it was like a bus ride up into Green Bay. So that wouldn't work. But now that you said that, maybe I have to look a little bit into it a little bit more. That's a little different than what I had found. But that was kind of awesome. I don't know about kiddie pools in December. I mean, I get it's full of beer, but
that's the one thing that stuck out to me is the kiddie pools. I might want to know what's the deal with that.
I'm sure it's just like acting as a giant cooler, right? Like it's just ice filled in and beers,
just beers everywhere.
No, I'm gonna have to relook that up because what I came up with was in Milwaukee, so maybe there's something different or you know. But I did look up the Broad House, I'm pretty sure. So definitely have to look into that.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty fun. Thanks for that. My internet connection is now unstable, so let's see how that goes.
I had it many times in Okinawa, so it worked out.
Yeah. League happenings. You'll explain this real quick, but I think maybe this could be dropped down to where we talk about a certain player here in a little bit.
Yeah, so I don't even remember what league this was in, but it's someone traded Zeke for DeAndre Swift straight up in a league, and I just wanted to get your thoughts on that, and I'll share mine as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, we are going to talk about Swift here at the end. Do you want to hold off for that?
Sure.
Item 13 just gives a little context, you know, and
yeah. We can move on to that after the news.
Yeah, what we're doing is we're setting it up, right? It's foreshadowing. Mm-hmm. See?
So. Yeah, we're professionals.
So. Only like 2% of the time.
I feel so out of practice.
I know. It's all right though. Only two shows. Well, we'll probably get three shows this month, I guess. So,
yeah,
about average. So, yeah, news and notes. A couple of players probably already know this. Put on the franchise tag. Chris Godwin and Allen Robinson. The big things. Nothing's really changing except, I guess, for Allen Robinson, change of quarterback. Really, the question I had here is when I thought about this is, what's a team that you want to see either these guys go to after? Like, where do you want to stay, move?
I want to see both of them in Green Bay. So I want Davante Adams, Chris Godwin, and Allen Robinson.
So something realistic, I guess, is the question. Yeah.
I imagine that Godwin's probably going to – I think he's going to stick with the Bucs, but, man, let's see. I mean, I don't want to see this, but Godwin going to the Bears with Fields being the quarterback and then Robinson moving on somewhere else. He's an older guy. So I could see Robinson going to someone. I mean, he could go back to the Jags next year or, man.
And yeah, I mean, we'll see what kind of happens with the quarterback situation there. I feel like being a little older, maybe he's in a win mode.
Yeah.
So maybe like a flip flop happens, Allen Robinson to the Bucks, Godwin to the Bears. I mean, it's to me, Allen Robinson goes to a wide receiver needy team. And then Chris Godwin goes to, I think he might stay with the Bucks. I don't know.
That's what I think. I think both of the guys stay with the teams they're on. I think Godwin and Robinson probably end up staying with each of their teams. I can't imagine.
And they can tag them. Yeah, they can tag them twice too. So there's that.
They can. Yeah.
So, speaking of the Bucks, Tom Brady had a partial torn MCL, still beat everyone to win another Super Bowl. So you just have to tear his knee off for him to like stop winning, to retire maybe. Apparently. He probably won't retire. He'll be the first player to win a Super Bowl with a prosthetic leg.
Yes, everyone thinks Tom Brady's soft. Obviously not.
Yeah, obviously not. So good for him. Just makes me even just more depressed the fact that we couldn't beat the Bucks so twice. not really fantasy relevant, and not necessarily football relevant, but news nonetheless in these slow times. Richard Sherman is in trouble. I don't know the details of this, but basically he's got like 5 charges, potential for felony stuff here. So I think he was kind of done though anyways, right?
Yeah, I saw like domestic violence, burglary, like something along those lines. And he came out and apologized. So, yeah.
I
mean, this is just probably he's not going to get signed anywhere this year.
Yeah, no, probably not. But he was, he's on the tail end of his career. But, you know, for somebody who was touted, constantly touted as being, you know, such a smart player and stuff, that it sucks to go out that way. So, but.
Yeah, you hate to see the mighty fall, but it happens so often.
Yep. Yeah, what's up with the Steelers here?
Yeah, Steelers defensive end Cassius Marsh, which is a guy I'd never really heard his name before. I think maybe when he was drafted by the Seahawks a few years ago, but it made an appearance on one of my favorite podcasts, Two Bears, One Cave. It's a couple of comedians, usually Tom Segura and Bert Kreischer. And I think Bert's off filming a movie right now. So Tom's been like bringing in a revolving cast of comedians and or celebrities, blah, blah, blah. But this week he had Cassius Marsh on, and he talked a lot of shit about the Patriots and his time there, because he was there. I think he went from the Seahawks to the Patriots, and then from there to the Niners, and now he's with the Steelers. But just so basically he was talking about how Bill Belichick every morning would come in, he'd speak like 45 minutes to an hour just about the Patriots' history and the coaches they have there, their history, and what their defense did the year before, what their defense is doing, trying to do now. And like, they didn't have it. They had no time for lunch or anything. There's just, and they basically had to like shovel food into their mouths in between meetings. And there was no like lunch hour or whatever. And yeah, basically just said it was like no fun. At all. And I kind of understand. You go from Pete Carroll, like the fucking big, like the 59-year-old or 60-year-old kid, to Bill Belichick, all business. There's going to be, and he did say that it was, he had the utmost respect for Belichick, like as a coach and as a person, but just the Patriots way was not his cup of tea, apparently.
I think plenty of guys have kind of expressed that too, and reason why potentially Gronk retired and then came back out because he got to go down to Tampa and stuff like that. So yeah. I wouldn't say that's the first or last time we'll hear that, but it's kind of that, if you want to win, this is what you got to do. Yeah. So little tidbit I found, Matt Nagy wants to get Montgomery up to 20 carries per game. It was, I think, sitting at like an average like 16 point something. So he was talking about getting some more carries in that like last 4 minutes or so of the game. So cool, I guess. Coach speak, you know? So yeah. I do feel like Montgomery's going a little late though, a little later than maybe. Like, it's a good value, you know?
Yeah, he's been going late, and he was a fringe RB1 last year, and I think he's going to be an RB1 this year.
Yeah.
So if he gets those extra carries, that's all for the better. So, like, take him from, like, the 12 to 14 range to maybe the, I don't know, 8 to 11 range, somewhere around there. I could totally see it.
Yeah.
Especially with if Fields gets in there and starts putting up some numbers, or, you know,
just being more distracting too. I mean, that will help, you know? Exactly. Yeah. So, I'm going to mess this one up, but Atlanta Falcons wide receiver Olamide Zaccheaus, should be the immediate benefactor of the trade of Julio Jones to Tennessee, according to Dean Worley of Falcons Wire. I've stashed him since last year on a lot of rosters, just because he had some big games. I'm willing to gamble to, you know, have this stupid waiver wire ad or something, but I'm cool with it. I mean, he's cost nothing. Yeah, so there's zero risk. I kind of looked at the numbers. There is really no correlation to being Jones being out and performing better, or Russell Gage for that fact. Like, neither really seemed to. I think Gage got a little bit more targets, but when Jones was out, but I didn't really see it. So for me, it's just, you know, an ad, see what happens through camp and preseason, and hold on a couple weeks if you can. If you can't, easy cut.
No, I totally agree. And like, I think you've talked about this guy a couple times before, and I see it for sure. But
yeah, I kind of miss.
It's all about their new tight end.
Yeah, I know. Somebody to trade for him. I did forget to mention this, which also goes there, but the Falcons threw the third most. So there's definitely a lot of balls to go around. So
a lot of balls.
So we'll see. The hype is definitely fits, but you know, especially if you're in best ball leagues, don't hurt, especially take a guy like this that could have. He had two like 17 plus point games last year, I think. So overall, he was kind of a dud, but in best ball, it don't matter. I thought we talked about this. The Cowboys to be featured on HBO Hard Knocks. Did we talk about this?
It's been so long, Daryl. Yeah. It's been so long.
Yeah, it's been like 2 weeks. So, but yeah, if you didn't know. So
yeah. More Mike McCarthy, everybody.
Woo-hoo. Yeah.
The most exciting person in sports.
Someone that's exciting, but maybe more so than not. How about the Viscus Chenault there, Jeremy?
Yeah. So LaVisca earned a target on 19.8% of his routes in 2020, higher percentage than Chark, even in 2019, 19.2%. Marvin Jones has exceeded 19% only once in his career. So
I would like to point out he was 88th in league target rate. So yes, he was above those guys, but he was 88th overall in the league. 52 in total targets and number 26 in points per target though. So wide receiver 25 in that regard. So, you know, kind of a number two wide receiver when you look at
points. Trevor's got a be more efficient than that crew they had back there last year.
Potentially, yeah. I mean,
you would hope.
Yeah, that's what you're hoping. I kind of looked at the efficiency and the on target, you know, catchable balls. It wasn't like crazy bad or anything. And he had a lot of short routes too. So
yeah,
I did see that. So I'm not particularly excited about him. Really kind of that whole, even Chark, and I'm a fan of Chark, but just kind of down on the Jags in general until I see something, you know?
Yeah. If anything, I mean, just Meyer coming from being the Ohio State coach, college coach, like the running game kind of entices me a little bit with Robinson and Etienne, probably even more Etienne because they're probably going to be coming from behind a lot as a receiving back. So, but yeah, I'm not real excited about the passing game because I have my doubts about Trevor being the, you know, the otherworldly talent that people think he's going to be.
But. Yeah. I mean, Chenault, as you say, it could benefit from a Meyer offense though, you know, just how I picture he's going to want to play, you know, short field, kind of attack game versus, you know, stretching the ball out and going, you know, five wide and stuff like that. So another little waiver wire ad for you, or a stupid move, I think, at this point. Mecole Hardman is once again getting all the camps hype with the Chiefs. Who would have guessed?
He's been my favorite like the last 3 years to do something and just never happens.
I did want to bring this up just because it followed right after Chenault, but he had a target rate of 19.1. So same guys. That's all I'm saying. He only had 10% of his target share for the team and was number 9 in drops. So I don't think he has any confidence, or Mahomes doesn't have confidence in him. So he doesn't have the confidence built up. I would rather take with Chris Powell at this point.
Cornell Powell. Even fucking Byron Pringle.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to cost the same.
But Marcus Robinson still there too.
So. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Another one of these guys you waiver add, and if you believe, and then cut them as quickly as possible. Yeah.
I don't think anyone in the offense matters outside of Kelce, Tyreek Hill, or CEH. That's about it. Like the number two wide receiver on the Chiefs has never mattered, really.
Yeah.
Since Mahomes has been there.
Yeah, I mean, you would like him to be the number two wide receiver, I guess. But, you know, he's billed as like a fast guy, and they already have a fast guy. So why? Exactly. Yeah. I don't know. Tell me about Zach Pascal.
Yeah, this is a guy I've kind of held on some rosters for a while just because he has the physical traits, and I just think he could be the late round dart throw or waiver add that you're kind of want to, you know, just put on the end of your bench or just for some depth, because he's 6'2", 219 pounds. The last two seasons, 70 plus targets, 600 receiving yards and 5 touchdowns. And, you know, T.Y. Hilton and
Pittman.
What the fuck is it? Michael Pittman. I knew it was Michael. Yeah, it's been a long couple weeks, but
yeah.
I love Michael Pittman too. But Michael Pittman, neither one of those guys really took a lot of targets last year. And the Colts also use a second round tender on Pascal. So, I mean, I know in a couple leagues where I was kind of hurting for a receiver, I slotted him in a couple of times last year, and I wasn't disappointed. Like he's pretty consistent, but man, it could be a breakout at some point.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, I had Old Man River too, so new quarterback. You know, some potential there to maybe have a little bit more of a passing attack. Not that Philip Rivers doesn't chuck it down the field, you know, but it's you know. We'll see how that changes. I mean, I'm generally I'm probably higher on the Colts offense changing to Wentz than most people. That's fine with me. Instead of taking, you know, a quarterback in the third round, I can wait and take Wentz at like the 12th round or something, you know? So, but I think there's a bounce back for him. So that's fine. I mean, I'm rooting for Pittman. And that's the thing, like outside of Pittman, any of these other Colts wide receivers, you can get late.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, once again, it's kind of a reoccurring thing with a lot of these guys. Like, you ain't got to pay a lot to get some of these guys here, like, honestly. Yeah. So, that's the best part, you know? And that's honestly, I think, I mean, you got to nail like your first maybe couple rounds to have a solid, like, team. But all you need is like a handful of these guys to like break out or pop off on weeks. And you put together a winning team. So, two guys I don't think are going to give you a winning team. Maybe one more than the other, but Henry Ruggs and Edwards for the Raiders. The obvious wide receiver 1 and 2s, not the number one target on the team. I mean, there's no one else there, so they have to be 1 and 2s, right? So,
yeah.
The biggest thing I saw from Ruggs, and that's basically all of his good games, came on long bombs. Ruggs' average target distance was 17.4 yards per target. That was fourth in the league. But to me, that's all he is. So yeah. And Edwards had no care. Yeah, every other stat for him was like he was in 100th, like, you know, 100th ranked or worse. You know, it was
people are still like betting on him to be. I've seen him go for second round picks in some leagues, and I'm like, what the fuck are you doing, man? Yeah, Bryan Edwards just
I think stay away until he actually does something, because he's hasn't shown anything at all.
Yeah. Yeah. It's unfortunate too. I mean, but you shouldn't, I feel like, well, yeah, I feel like you should have known when the Raiders took like the fastest wide receiver in the draft that this was going to end badly. Like it doesn't work out.
It always does.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean,
Rugs in best ball, maybe a dart there, but
yep.
I'm all about that.
Well, yeah, I mean, league record, the dude that has him, you know, took him in the first round, that's like $14, you know, and cap hit. So in a year that cap went down, yeah, not too great there. I don't know where you stand on Chase Edmonds, but I'm pretty high on him. Looks like you put down here Chase Edmonds has one career carry inside the five versus James Conner inside the five since in NFL. How about you? Give me these James Conner stats.
Yeah, James Conner, since entering the NFL inside the five, the PFF rushing grade is 77.3, which is first out of 38 qualified running backs. Touchdown conversion rate, 55%, fourth. First down or touchdown rate, 62%, number one. Arizona's sixth most in run plays last year, and Edmonds, number six in RB targets, yards, and yards, number seven in receptions, number three in slot snaps, number six in routes run, number seven in yards per touch, and number one in goal line.
Not one goal line.
One goal line.
Yeah. That was one goal line. So that was the one carry inside the five.
Okay. Just gotta wonder did they bring James Conner in to handle those inside the 5 yard line carries, or is this just insurance? Like, I've seen a lot of people talk about James Conner being the bell cow here, and Edmonds still being the receiving back.
Well, I mean, the jury says that Conner can't be a bell cow, that he breaks down too fast and he wears out. So, yeah, maybe the short conversion. Something I was going to put in here, but didn't really like play into the kind of the what I was trying to get at with that. But I was trying to see the difference between Kenyon Drake and Edmonds on the shotgun. So Arizona runs shotgun like 94% of the time last year. Yeah. So they're not really even in a traditional I formation where you would think would be like line everybody, big bodies up front, run for the goal line, you know? So already their offense kind of seems like it's not geared for that to begin with, you know? And then it was pretty much split between Drake and Edmonds last year on that, in those terms, as far as who took the shotgun snaps and stuff like that. So it was pretty much 50-50. So Conner had been out of the shotgun a lot, too. So there was really no distinction. I think, as you can see, same situation between Edmonds and Drake, except I think Edmonds is going to be the number one guy, the first two downs, and then Conner will be a third dive short yardage goal line potential right there. So
until he gets hurt. Yeah. I agree.
I think Edmonds has all the upside though.
I wouldn't rely on either one of these guys to be an RB2 for you. Maybe a three. I don't see Arizona running the ball enough to support that. But if I had to pick one of the two, I'd pick Edmonds.
Arizona
slot in.
Arizona had the sixth most run plays.
Sure.
I don't know if that's adjusted for scrambles. Usually it is. So, but
I don't remember a lot of production. I'd have to look it up, but.
As I was grabbing Chase Edmonds last year, it was for what he did in the passing game. It wasn't necessarily his rushing. And that's why I brought the receptions, the slot snaps, routes run, stuff like that. So I think he's way more valuable there. So I think he'll see the field more than Conner. So he's going to have those, you know, swing pass touchdowns and stuff like that from outside the five. So
outside the five is key.
Yes. Outside the five. Yes. all right. Let's mash up this league happenings. This is Zeke for Swift straight up trade. Let's little background on the on Swift here for me.
Yeah, so I just kind of dug up some stats here, thinking that Swift could have a rough year this year. Lions currently not favored in any game this season. Vegas is notorious for being pretty smart on these things.
Bastards.
Yeah. Since 2000, only 8 running backs have finished as an RB1 when their team finished with 0-3 wins. None finished higher than RB7. You have a couple stats here. Lions, 2 worst team in run plays per game. Second worst team in run plays per game.
Yeah, second worst. Yeah, yeah. And then, I mean, really, what I have for him is I believe he's a better receiving option than running. Number 11 in yards, 12 in reception, 10. Number 10 in target share, and then 11 yards per reception. It's 6 yards, or number 6 in yards per route. Yeah. So his rushing was not that great. He was able to turn his receiving, I think, into fantasy points, and that's why he's going higher than maybe he should, especially with them bringing in Williams. Do you feel like these guys are in the same level, Swift and Zeke? Go back to that trade or no?
Honestly, like this year, I think Zeke's probably a few steps higher than him. I think Zeke's probably like a back end RB1 and Swift's probably like a lower end RB2.
I mean, you're pretty down on Zeke too.
No, I am, but this year I think he could have a good year with Dak coming back. You know, I think this may be the last year that Zeke's relevant for fantasy purposes.
So it's more of a long-term hate than a short-term.
Like I think if you're a contender, like a dynasty championship contender, you might want to go after Zeke, but I would find it hard to send Swift for Zeke, honestly, at this point. I think Swift's got some upside, like a lot of upside going forward.
Yeah, and I saw some stuff about Anthony Lynn actually producing some, you know, whatever, like top 12, 15 type of running backs and stuff. So I think he's your RB2, especially if you can go with something like a quarterback running back, and then, you know, on some back-to-backs or quarterback wide receiver running back, maybe you'll be okay there. I don't think you can rely on him as number one, though, personally. I'm not taking him. I did have him in one of my teams last year, but that was just a redraft league, so that doesn't really count. But but no, I don't think you can do it straight up. If I was the Zeke owner, I would probably ask for a little something else. Swift and maybe Williams, just because if he's got him, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Just kind of hedge that bet a little bit.
Yeah, if someone's willing to send Swift, I would definitely ask for Williams too.
Yeah, because I think they'll be like, oh, okay, whatever. Like, it's just Jamal Williams. He's never fumbled the ball.
That's not valuable at all.
That's not valuable, yeah. Yeah, it looks like the news, all the news and notes. Anything to add to that?
No, just I guess if we'll kind of skip ahead to last call here, I was kind of last like minute news or just a little something for us Packers fans. Daryl, I know you love to hear Rodgers news.
I feel like this is fake news that I've seen.
No, I saw on Reddit earlier, someone said this is basically confirmation Aaron Rodgers is coming back.
I've seen that.
A lady said, my girlfriend is a supervisor in Brown County who works for a home cleaning service. Guess whose house was on for deep clean early next week? They cleaned his house for 10 plus years. You guessed it, Aaron, number 12, Rodgers.
Yeah. Many
players and coach personnel are getting their homes deep cleaned as they're returning after 2 to 6 months of not being in Green Bay.
Yeah. I saw that. It's been circulating for a little bit. Yeah, I'm not. I mean, I saw somebody trolling Schefter. It's like, breaking Aaron Rodgers reports to camp via Schefter. Like, so it's pretty funny. Yeah.
I saw all the Packers fans on Reddit being like, oh yeah, let's fucking go. And I was like, my first comment on there was like, maybe he's getting ready to put it on the market.
Yeah. Like,
just to be the contrarian.
There. It's kind of a good time to sell. I mean,
yeah, exactly. The market is up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, with that, I know you're working on the house back in the US. I know.
Yeah.
A little adjustment period for you there.
Yeah, man. It's been a bit of a culture shock. Waiting to get into the new house. We have some tenants that were waiting to get out of the house, and they're military, so that they're at the will of the military movers, you know, TMO and all that. That's all that fun stuff. But we should be in the new house second week of August, and just bought ourselves a couple cars, and we're just getting back into the swing of things here in the U.S. It's been pretty wild so far. You know, like, you got, especially because we have family so close, we have family commitments. That I actually went to my 25-year-old cousin's wedding last night, which was pretty awesome that we made it back for, but the kids weren't very cooperative, so we had to cut our night short, which sucked. But
yeah,
overall it's been a good thing. Like, my mom and sister came here tonight, so
that's good. Yeah, see,
been having a good time.
Yeah, positives for sure.
India, how are you doing over there?
I'm ready to leave already. It's been a month and like 3 days actually, which is kind of crazy. But between fighting cobras, seeing three of the most deadliest snakes already. One was in our bathroom, so that was fun. That was the cobra, so that was awesome.
In your bathroom.
Yeah. In the bathroom. That was crazy. And like, we were watching it and stuff, and then like went behind the toilet, and then like we lost sight. So we all started to peek around the corner to like try and get a look at it. And then it popped around the corner, like up and the hood out. And it's just like, so it was like, bam, like that. We all fucking just poof, like scattered. Yeah. So I've seen three of the deadliest snakes.
You're in a hotel, right?
This was at work.
Okay.
At work. So, and I work at night. So I like walk down the middle of roads and stuff, like, just because I don't want to go off into the grass. Today we had like you see Starship Troopers, right? So like, you know, they're battling bugs. Like, we were like Starship Trooper in that shit tonight at work, just like using the vacuum. Like, they're coming through all like the cracks and stuff. There's just a swarm of them, and they're coming through all the cracks. We're using like the vacuum to, like, as they come through, like suck them out of the hole and like suck them into the vacuum, and we're taping and siliconing shit to keep them out. And yeah, it's fun. Yesterday was tipped over. Traffic is insane. There was a tipped over like chicken truck. There's a whole bunch of dead chickens on the road, on the 2-lane road. Like, supposedly, I haven't seen it. People have seen bodies on the road. I haven't seen it. So it's interesting. It's interesting. I'll put it that way.
Jeez, man.
Yeah. But,
I'm so ready to go to Green Bay in December.
Yes. Yeah. I will be ready as well. So that is for sure. So, but yeah, we'll keep coming to you semi-live from India and North Carolina.
Yeah. Raise up North Carolina.
All right, buddy.
All right, man.
Later.
Thank you for tuning into the Dynasty Drunks Fantasy Football Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to rate and subscribe. Until next time, remember, NFL players don't care about your fantasy team, but we do.